Thank you for listening to the Weekly Market Outlook. It is our pleasure to bring an industry-leading market analyst to provide you with the most value possible in your farm business. Please reach out anytime by emailing cbaron@agviewsolutions.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Agview Pitch. We're heading into a new week, actually the last week of November, November 27th through December 1st, actually. So as we wrap up this month, we're lucky enough to have with us today Pete Meyer. Pete, how's it going?
It's going well, Chris. Thank you very much. And it's nice to be with you again.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. We're coming off of the Thanksgiving holiday. We're in that holiday season, heading towards Christmas. It seems like the trade gets a little bit lighter. There's not quite as much activity going on there. Guys are getting harvest wrapped up. Few things I want to touch on with you here. And I think what I want to start out with is the volatility that we've seen in the soybean market. It's not been extreme, but it's been pretty volatile inside the range that it's in. Talk a little bit about soybeans and if guys have some old crop beans yet, should they be getting some of that stuff out of the bins and out of here, and also new crop a little bit on soybeans. What are you watching there?
Well, I think soybeans have two factors. They have meal, and then you have the weather in South America. Now, you know, nobody in his right mind thinks that the current USDA estimates for Brazilian production will hold up, but maybe we lose 10 million, maybe we lose 15 million metric tons. But really, a big thing behind it has been this meal market has been absolutely explosive. I mean, if you just look back to early October, we were trading at $365 a ton or something like that. And then we're trading now about $100 higher than that. And that has certainly added to it. There's a lot of moving parts in the meal market. A, the commercial was short meal for some reason. I really don't know why they were short meal. The funds were long meal. The funds have won that battle. But behind that is this new regime being elected in Argentina, which is a far right regime. And that gentleman, that new president now has talked about getting rid of the peso. And, you know, there's what does that mean if he gets rid of the peso, gets rid of the central bank? I certainly understand that those are very, very extreme views, but there are views that he was elected on. So, you know, we have to kind of see. To me, you get rid of the peso, you get rid of all the nonsense that goes on down there in ag, you may end up with quite a few sellers in the meal market just because of Argentina's presence in the global meal market. So, you know, I think the beans have two things. A, like I said, they had the commercial short got caught there, which was very painful for them. And also, you know, the weather in Brazil. And the weather in Brazil is, you know, God, we could spend an hour talking about the weather in Brazil and the long-term ramifications, right? Okay, well, the soybeans all died. Okay, I'm going to plant cotton. Oh, my God, the soybeans went in late. Oh, that means I'm not going to plant corn. I'm not going to plant safrinha corn behind it. Oh, well, wait a minute. Now my soybeans died. So now that means I'm going to be able to plant my corn behind it in time unless I planted cotton. I mean, really, it makes your head spin to think of what can happen there. But as far as the volatility is concerned, it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be dull here because the December WASDE will bring us nothing. And we're basically waiting until January. But here we are again, Chris, as we were this summer, where we're trading a production market. And I don't like production markets. I just don't like them. The demand side of the equation is not great. And once again, we're trading a production market.
Well, a lot of people are saying, you know, well, soybeans are the thing or the area that has an opportunity versus corn and wheat and stuff. But on the same token, like you say, this is a weather market, right? And so typically weather markets are meant to be sold, not a recommendation, but just saying that, you know, I think we got to watch this really careful. And I've actually been watching this pretty close on the new crop too, 13 to, you know, say 13, 20, somewhere in there. Is that a bad place to maybe pull the trigger and get started on some new crop sales or what's
certainly
your thought?
Not. Certainly not. I mean, we're trading around $13, $13.02, $13.03. Certainly if you get a 20-cent rally here, in 24, you have to, you know, you have to reward it. Now, the only other thing that, you know, guys are talking about is that, and I saw that the USDA's long-term estimates showed more soy, a lot more soybean acres for next year and less corn acres. And the economics of it don't point that way to me. I mean, you're really going to have to get November 24 beans way up there before you buy any acres, in my opinion. Because corn, let's be honest, corn is still over five. Corn December 24 corn is still around the 515 level versus beans at $13. You know, it still makes sense to plant corn. So I would think that you know, you want to let some go, maybe at 13.25. But if we end up with low area again, like I expect, because, you know, once, but that's granted, that's 3-4 months away. You want to leave some space to sell it at the current levels, which are around 13.50. So I would certainly think the 13.25 to 13.50 are good sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Next area of conversation. You mentioned the funds and exports a little bit. Talk about the correlation between crude oil and corn right now. Corn's under pressure. There's all kinds of other overlying issues. Is corn dead in the water? Is it not going anywhere, or is there anything that can't allow it to? Because, you know, with crude being where it's at and the correlation there, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, crude this morning is still hovering around $75-76. We have, you know, the gasoline products are pretty cheap. We're on the cusp here of another OPEC meeting where they're supposed to be cutting production again, but this would be the third, fourth, or fifth cut. There's only so much you can cut before these countries have to have this money rolling in to keep their economy afloat. So, you know, and I think the market is kind of sniffing that around, you know. So crude oil, I think is probably a sideways trade at this point. Certainly if we got below $70, it would be a buy, and you could probably buy the products in correlation. If you wanted to buy some diesel or some heating oil for your needs for next year, I would certainly think that would be in play. But yeah, the low prices now, I mean, RBOB was down to 210 or something like that. We haven't broken the 210 level yet, but that's kind of weighing on your ethanol, you know, production, your ethanol profitability. So I think that oil is moving sideways, and I think that exports are also kind of moving sideways. There's no reason for me to think the corn's not going to move sideways, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe we touch 450. Certainly, the last time we spoke, we were both talking about selling corn above $5, and it turned out, as with most things in life, it's better to be lucky than good. And here we are now, back down to like 470. It certainly seems to have a bit of a price magnet near that 475. I know Deese is going to run off here pretty soon, but this week. But you know what? That seems to be, yeah. If it's comfortable at 475, you certainly would not be out of the realm of thinking to think that the range is going to be $4.50 to $5. Man. But I don't, you know, that's another way of saying it's a sideways move for me.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, let's dive into another question I had, and I've had a couple conversations with growers on this, is, you know, the December to March, you know, Deese is going to come off here this week. The first part of the week. And, you know, if guys have to roll, they need to get it done here probably Monday, Tuesday, as they're listening to this. And so here's my question. If you've got, you know, enough carry, I mean, to the March, and guys think they want to sell some, you know, you're going to maybe roll it, but it depends on the cost of the roll and what your interest rates are and line of credit and all that stuff. But what I want to ask you on is more so, if a person wants to make some sales and some additional sales on old crop corn, what's that look like if, you know, if a guy goes ahead and makes some sales on March to take advantage of that price and then not set basis and then sit on that for a little bit? And I know that's going to be different from one area to the next, but is there, you know, what are the holes in that plan, or what?
Well, we, you know, I mean, the Deese March is around 19 cents, right? So can the Deese March go to 25? I mean, it would be astounding, but it can. But that being said, what's going to happen there is that the Deese is going to go down and the march is going to stay the same. This is just my, just stay flat. This is just my opinion. Okay. And the reason for that is, as you suggest, we have heard from commercials in various parts of the country that they have no idea what to do with this stuff. They are having logistical issues. They can't find any place to store it. So that suggests to me that the DEES, as we go into delivery, is probably going to get pretty cheap. So that spread can widen out, but the march is going to stay kind of flat. So just my opinion, the DEES march can widen from here. Well, it depends which way you want to look at it, but widen from here, maybe to minus 25 cents or something like that. But it's only going to be on the DEES side just because the material handlers are having very great difficulty moving it, especially in the East where the crop was pretty good.
Okay, so that leads me to another question then, or an issue, and this is on the corn side. And when the farmers start making sales, there's a shitload of corn out there, let's put it that way.
And
it's when it starts going to market, you know, and the funds are like nowhere to be found, it feels like, anyway, on the commodities. And so, I mean, what's to stop this thing from going down a bunch if all of a sudden grain starts moving? Because there is so much of it that's going to have to be sold. And a lot of people wait until January, hoping for a rally in January, because of tax reasons and all kinds of other reasons. And then they got to start making, you know, everything from land payments to, you know, to seed and cam and all that stuff.
Well, the issue there is, I mean, your March corn is trading today or closed on Wednesday. We're talking on Friday morning at 487 or something like that, 47 and a half. To me, again, the same thing as Deese. That's a sale at $5 and it may trade down to 450, as you suggest. I mean, it's just, we're kind of in that zone. If you want to hold on until the January WASDE, hoping that yields are going to go down, I would say no. Because the reason for that is that, you know, we were down around 173 in the corn yield. All of a sudden, the USDA comes back at 174, whatever their number was. That should be a surprise to no one because everybody said the crop was better than they thought, right? I mean, I came off a crop tour this year thinking it was the same size as last year, which would have been 173.3. I think I told our clients at the time, like 174. They went in at 172. There was no reason for me to change. But now, you know, can we get to 175? Maybe. But a lot of things are going to happen between now and January in Brazil as well. So, you know, really, you're really at the mercy of a weather market that's just worried about production. And, you know, it's a hard call for me. And that's why I would stay in the same kind of zone there, that $4.50 to $5. And we're basically 12 cents. We're 12 cents above the midpoint. So I think you have to look at it. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that you look at the carry from Deese to March, from March to May, from Deese to May or whatever. Yeah, it looks tasty, right? It looks good. The problem there is that you have to look at a few different things. A, what are you paying on your operating loan? You're paying 9%? Okay, you got to take that into consideration. What could you make if you sold your crop now and put the money in a CD or any sort of interest-bearing account and get five or 6% out of it? You know, all of a sudden now you're saying to yourself, well, wait, you know, it's like people that have credit cards out at 18% and say, well, you know, I'll pay that off next month, even though I have this X amount of money. You can't do that anymore. Not in this high interest rate environment. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. There's a 3.5 point spread. Let's say you can get 5.5% on your money, which is certainly very, very doable at the moment. Everybody's begging for your money at 5.5%. Okay, and your operating loan's at 9. There's a 3.5% spread there. You better be making a hell of a lot more than 3.5% on your carry on your local basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with basis consideration, that's going to be different in every area too, because there's some areas that did have a huge crop. There's areas like where I'm at, the crop wasn't as good. If the flat price is going down, the further down it goes, probably the better the base is going to get, because farmers are reluctant to sell then.
Right.
And having those sales done maybe a little earlier. Again, not a recommendation, just a theory or a thought I have, is getting some more of these bushels priced on the March or the May might make sense, and, you know, take advantage of some basis down the road if the price does continue to go lower. If the price goes up, that's great. You know, sell some more, right? But
I think you have to reward. You'd be doing yourself an injustice if you were not rewarding these rallies. I mean, look at where Maycorn's at $5 for all intents and purposes, right?
Right.
It's $4.98 and change. But again, how much is it going to cost you to carry your loan for another 6 or 7 months versus that carry, right? Mm-hmm. That's, there we are.
Yeah. You got to do the algebra. There's no question about it.
There's no question about it. But you cannot you can't just look at the spread versus what your operating loan cost. You have to look at the spread versus what your operating loan cost and what you could get for the money today, what you could make on those 6 months. Maybe you can make 2.5% or 3% on the 6 months. You'd still have to pay, let's say, 4.5% on your operating loan for that 6 month period, or whatever, or it could be higher than that. So you have to take all the math into consideration, and especially you have to be cognizant of the fact of what you could make on your money if you put your money in the bank. The tax ramifications, I'm not the guy to talk to about your tax ramifications, but, you know, and certainly people will wait until January, like you suggest, but, you know, well, between and now there, and then, it's a sideways market for me.
Yeah, there is a logistical consideration too, whether it's moving the bushels now or moving the bushels in January. You know, it's talking to the, you know, to wherever you sell your grain, to the elevator or to the processor or whatever, and having a plan and working with them has a big impact too, as to from a logistical standpoint and basis and all that, for sure. Yeah. So, I want to wrap up the conversation. We'll keep this one a little shorter, but I kind of want to wrap up with just the general economy. You have a pretty good pulse on what's going on with interest rates, what's going on with the dollar, with energies, you know, probably some opinion on the geopolitical stuff. And you know, we've seen inflation, you know, some people still are talking about, you know, going into a recession. What are some of the things that, of all of those things, apply to the commodities market most directly, including like the stock market and stuff, and the funds? What things do you think the farmer that we need to be paying attention to as we wrap up 2023 that could affect our prices and our opportunities?
There seems to be a movement in the world to more hard right. We saw that in Argentina. Now that, the, you know, once that, and I'm sorry, I forget the guy's name, but anyway, you know, that's a far right candidate. That there you have a major producer, a major crusher in the world. What's that ramification going to be? In the Netherlands, they just elected Geert Wilders, who's another guy who's so far right. These guys are so far right. The conservative nature. Now, why do we care about the Netherlands? Well, you do a lot of crushing in Rotterdam, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. He has not made any sort of, he's anti everybody but the Dutch. So that, you know, what that means to agriculture is probably not, but I think globally what we're seeing is this push now to the hard right. We'll see. I mean, you know, even in this country, you look, and I mean, amazingly, a guy with 9 indictments against him, or however many it has, is leading the incumbent in the U.S. There seems to be this push. This becomes very, very parochial, right? Very, very protective of the country in general. You don't know what that means to free trade. So you have to trade. I think you have to pay attention to that. Interest rates, you know, the market is certainly betting that this is it, right? That there'll be no more hikes. And if anything, we're going to start to see reductions starting in 2024. You have to be very, very careful with that, because, you know, the Fed came under a lot of criticism for raising rates too quickly. And they will come under, if they start cutting, they will come under criticism for cutting them too quickly. You need to see some stabilization. I think the Jay Powell needs to see some stabilization. Is there the off chance that we get another hike here? You know, yeah, the market is certainly telling you that there's no chance it's going to happen. And that by Q1, we're going to see a quarter point reduction. I think it's going to, you know, they're probably going to wait. I certainly will agree with the market. There'll be no hike coming in the near future. But as far as 24 is concerned, I think they may stretch it out a little bit to make sure everything comes under control. As far as consumer confidence is concerned, here we are, Chris, we're talking on Black Friday, one of the biggest sales days. And then by the time this gets out, it'll be Cyber Monday and there'll be sales as well. Those numbers are going to start to trickle in the market here pretty quick. And that's going to give you a huge indication of what consumer sentiment is. And that may be a boost. That's probably going to drive what Jay Powell and the Fed think, what Chairman Powell and the Fed think after the first of the year. So you've got that moving. The oil market, don't really know exactly what's going to happen there. As I say, these countries have cut production, and we just don't see the demand. We see a spike after they cut production, and then we come back down. I think that's going to be a stable market as well. As far as the stock market is concerned, boy, we certainly have had to use Alan Greenspan's term, maybe a bit of unbridled exuberance in the stock market. We're trading, seems like the last month or so, every day higher. You know, what can stop that? Probably just the consumer sentiment that I talked about earlier with the sales here on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And it'll take some time for those numbers to get in, but certainly the press will be all over that. And that'll give you a bit of an indication. So, and the dollar, yeah, the dollar is a tough one. I mean, a dollar, I would expect the dollar can weaken a little bit, which should help your exports somewhat. But, you know, I don't know. I don't. The dollar is a tough call here. The dollar, mm-hmm. because of the interest rates. So if interest rates start to get cut in early 24, well, yeah, then the dollar is heading south in a hurry. But we'll see, because I would think that if the Fed does cut rates in early 24, we'll be the leader globally, and that will take some time to digest in the currency markets. I don't know. Does that answer your question, Chris?
Yeah, that's really good. You know, when you were talking there, one other thing that occurred to me was, you know, I've been traveling a little bit here this last week or so, and the airports are jam packed. And I said this like last summer and last winter even, you know, it seems like everybody must have a ton of money, because there's so much activity, there's so much spending going on. Is there anything going on there, or anything that could be a consequence of that, or does everybody just have that much money?
Well,
it's crazy.
You're assuming, and you know what happens when we assume. You're assuming that they're paying cash for this stuff. But when you look at consumer debt and the rates being so high, consumer debt is extremely high in this country, and mm-hmm. people are paying more for car loans and credit card or whatever. I mean, if you want to go price out a car, I was looking at some stuff just the other day, some analysis on it. I mean, even a car, you know, if you want to lease a car, let's say an average size car, it probably cost you, and you would have leased that same car a year ago, just on interest, or I'm sorry, 3 years ago before your lease ran out. You know, you're probably paying $100 more a month. Okay, that may not seem like much, but it's a lot. You know, it's $1,200 more a year for the same exact vehicle based on your interest rate cost. So I do get it that people are out moving around. It seems like a lot of people were driving this week, according to AAA. They had some record numbers as far as people driving for Thanksgiving, which makes sense. Gasoline is 60 or 70 cents cheaper than it was last year at this time. Regarding the airfare, certainly they've said that there is going to be record travel this year. Certainly that's part of the price deal. But, you know, as far as their spending is concerned, that's where consumer sentiment is going to make a big difference here within the next month or so, because, you know, are people really going to want to, if they did travel, are they really going to load up their credit card for Christmas purchases? Boy, I don't know. It's a fine line there, but it's not real to suggest that people are you know, loaded with cash, and that's why they're traveling, because I think that, you know, the fact of the matter is that I think they're still loading up some of their debt, and that worries mm-hmm. me. especially at these rates. You know, you have credit card rates at 20% for some of these people. I mean, it's just it's tough. I think that the farmer is probably a little bit more flush with cash than the average American. I'll say that.
Yeah. Last question then. What does that affect on the commodities, or does it have an effect if we get into some kind of a major debt trouble? Is that good or bad? Because if you're dropping the dollar, that's supposed to be good for commodities.
It's supposed to be good for commodities, but I'm not necessarily sure that the funds are going to be interested. You're going to need the funds in here on the other side of this trade, because demand is kind of so-so. Demand is flat, right? It's not awful. It's not great, whatever. But, you know, so are the funds going to be interested in buying this stuff, buying any commodity in a, you know, not a recessionary market, but almost in a deflationary market? You know, I don't know. I don't think they are. It seems to me like the funds have kind of said, all right, we'll pick this up in the spring sometime. That's good. We had a good summer, but you know, here we are now. Like we said earlier, we're trading production, we're trading yields. And as our friend Joe Vaklovic always says, you know, June, July, maybe August is when you trade yield. After that, you shouldn't be trading yield. You should be trading demand. So here we are now. It's November. So let's say it's May in Brazil. So in December and January and early February, we're going to trade yield out of South America. And then by the end of March, we're going to start trading, you know, acreage intentions. So, you know, it's one of those things, but I certainly would be a proponent, based on what we see on the demand side, I would be a proponent of rewarding rallies that are production based. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think we just got to keep our heads on straight, do the algebra, do the math, and look at our own individual operation and try to make some good sound business decisions for our own businesses, for sure. So
certainly, I think we're in an environment now where the younger farmer has not seen, you know, these sort of interest rates and these, you know, on their operating loans. And that's, you know, I start to hear about some of these banks that are out there trying to widen their portfolio. They're looking for really, really solid businesses that, you know, rewarded rallies, sold it, that are cash positive, that added income, added value to their operation in 2023. And, you know, if they come looking for you, make sure you get a little bit of a reduction on your interest rate, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to add value to their overall portfolio. That's what I'm hearing anyway.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, what do you want to leave the producers with, and we'll wrap it up? Anything we didn't hit on, or are you good?
No, I think we're okay. I think we're kind of in a bit of a doldrum here between now and January. And like I said, we're trading weather, but just be careful of all the social media posts about you know, how bad the Brazilian crop looks. It looks bad in some areas. It looks a lot better in other areas. But once again, as usual, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So everybody, nobody in Brazil is posting pictures of a good crop. So you can't make that general assumption that the entire crop looks bad, because you may end up in the same boat that you were this year, where we ended up with, you know, okay, we had a bad growing season. We produced 174. I looked at if you look at the USDA numbers on their stalk, especially in corn now, on their stalk count and what happened there. If we had a good year weather-wise this year, we would have been well above 180, above it.
Right. So. Yeah, sounds to me like, again, not a recommendation, but some of these little rallies are probably some pretty big opportunities to kind of keep plugging some sales in along the way on both new and old crop both. So with that said, Pete, really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. And I wish everybody... If I don't talk to anybody, I mean, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, and I wish you the best for the rest of the holiday season.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe we'll get you back for a Christmas present conversation or something, you know, or.
We should have a conversation before the January WASDE. I think that'll probably be the right time to have a conversation. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Again, thank you, Peter. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday season. It's going to get busy with family and all that kind of stuff. And just I hope everybody that got harvest wrapped up is going to get a chance to catch up on some rest. And with that said, let us know if there's anything that you'd like us to be doing, hitting on either on our subscriber only podcast that we do on 19 minutes. If there's any topics there you'd like us to be hitting on, and anything you'd like us to be hitting on here on the regular Agview Pitch. With that said, hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and we will talk to you again next time on the Agview Pitch.